I am Sharon Dwyer. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a licensed Unity teacher in this church, and I am your guest speaker today. It's nice to be a guest. Okay, I'll leave it at that. All right. I was going to make some silly joke, but I already decided that I was really going to try to be subdued today. I know. Sometimes I get a little out of hand. All right. I'm speaking on spiritual resilience. In Unity, we hear a lot about the 12 powers, and I was trying to name all 12 of them to myself before the service, and I couldn't think of all of them, but such things as peace, love, joy, zeal, renunciation,
imagination,
oh my, what else? Faith, will and imagination, I think.
Zeal,
yay. Whatever, if that's one of them, it shouldn't. I mean, if it isn't, it should be. I cannot quite remember them all. But I've studied them. It's just that, you know, the train leaves sometimes without all the cars on it. Well, to me, after reading this book and thinking about it, I decided, we could have a 13th power, resilience. And actually, it is kind of a combination of some of these powers anyway. After reading and thinking and studying about it, in a nutshell, to me, my definition of spiritual resilience is flexible, heart-centered strength. And I could just go sit down now, and you guys could pray on that. But that's kind of what I think it is. That's what makes it spiritual, is the heart-centered part. Everything is really spiritual anyway. But heart-centered, and Stephanie sang about the heart. And part of gaining this spiritual resilience is learning to join together brain. We can call it mind if we want, but mind is probably a lot more than brain. But the organ, the brain and the heart, right? Linking them together. That's what makes it heart-centered strength. Okay. And Greg Braden wrote this book, The Turning Point, Creating Resilience in a Time of Extremes. Greg Braden is an author and speaker with a background of science and social sciences and research, but he's considered a new age, new thought, you know, cutting edge thinker as well. And he grew up in Kansas City. Well, that says something. Okay. Yes. But it's a very good book, and if you're interested, I can get a copy for the to order you for the bookstore. Braden defines resilience as a way of living and being that gives us the flexibility to change and adapt to new conditions. I'm going to repeat that. A way of living and being that gives us the flexibility to change and adapt to new conditions. And then he says, this is the key to transformation in our time of extremes. And he is talking about this quality on different levels. On the individual level, which is what I'm focusing on today, the community level, which I will touch on using our church as community, and larger communities, cities, countries, nations, the world, because he's talking about changes such as climate change, for example, the violence that occurs in our physical earth. We know that that's our physical experience is not all there is. That's what makes us aware that we're spiritual beings. But we still are. As long as we're walking around in these bodies, we are living on this earth, and we are influenced by the consciousness around us, which Charles Fillmore called race consciousness, which did not mean like, you know, what we think of race, but I'd say the human race, human consciousness, okay? We are influenced by that. And the more we can go within, which is what unity is about, first of all, and in prayer, and strengthen our own consciousness, the less we're influenced by those other things, you know, around us. They can be there if they are, they're there. Accept it. Or serenity prayer, you know, do what you can to change it, and if you can't, accept it. But we do not have to be defeated or influenced in such negative ways by what goes on around us, the more we develop this inner quality of spiritual resistance. He says it's the key to transformation in our time of extremes. Personal, community, national, global levels. A lot of times I think traditionally the word resilience has been used to talk about how people have survived horrible things, basically trauma, whether it was a hurricane, a war, you know, a shooting, those things that do happen on Earth. When people have survived them, we talk about their resilience. And Braden is using it in a broader sense as being more proactive, not just a response to what happens, but a way of living and being that allows us to move through what happens and to use it to create a greater consciousness of good and love. He says it's possible for individuals, families, and communities to create turning points of resilience that minimize the impact of abrupt change and shorten the time it takes to recover when hardship does occur. That's a very long sentence. It's possible for individuals, families, and community, this is one, to create turning points of resilience. Not just to fear that change is going to happen, hide from it, run away from it, go, oh my God, I know I hate change. To create turning points of resilience that minimize the impact of abrupt change and shorten the time it takes to recover when hardship does occur. Not just to say, you know, God give me the strength to make it through this one or help me out of this one, but to say, I have the flexible strength. We have the flexibility and the heart-centered strength to experience change because life is change. We know that, but we act shocked about it all the time. Life is change. That's been, we were told by ancient wisdom seekers and finders that life is change. The only thing constant in life is change. And yet we want to control our environment in such a way that we don't have to experience that. And that's part of our problem, our human condition problem, is that a lot of us are always trying to control the outer, control the environment so that our experience is the way we want it to be. And for some people, that I know that what I'm saying doesn't fit in with everybody's belief system because I know that some people would say, yeah, you know, what I believe, I decide, and that changes my outer world. I'm speaking from a little bit different point of view because I'm talking a little more about how we live on Earth and the awareness that on Earth, change happens, disaster happens, we lose things, I lose things all the time. We lose, but I find most of them. We lose people, we lose our pets. My kitty died the other morning. I mean, it happens, you know, and it's always going to happen. And the more spiritual resilience I develop, then the more I can accept and just take it in stride that change happens and be with it instead of fighting it. Now, I might not go along with all the change, but I can know that within me is a core that exists through the change, and I can make decisions, I can make choices about how to handle it. There may be changes that I don't want to be a part of, but I can use the power of discernment. Isn't that one of them? Oh, great. I can use that one to decide how to handle situations instead of just reacting all the time, which is what some of us used to do. We don't do that anymore. But we used to in our past. Yes. Resilience means different things in different situations. To people new in a relationship, newlyweds, that's going to be one kind of meaning. To people, partners who've been together for a long time, it'll have a different meaning. To teenagers in America, it would have one meaning. To members of a tribe who are going through a ritual, from teenager to adult, resilience will have a different meaning. On the battlefield, in environmentally conscious organizations, these are just some of the examples in which resilience would have different meanings depending on the focus and the goal. But it is still an important quality in community and societies and individuals. And whenever I am thinking of a value, a core value, a power that I honor and want in my life, I think of how we say, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. And I just plug in whatever that other power is. So I say, let there be resilience on earth and let it begin with me. Not meaning that things won't change, but that we have flexible, heart-centered strength as we move through whatever changes there may be. Let there be resilience on earth, and let it begin with me. So many times we think resilience is the ability to recover from something that already happened. It might be in a physical situation, or it might be in a community or in a nation. We think of it as the ability to recover. But Braden says that resilience can be applied to any system where dynamic change is involved. That resilience can be applied to ecosystems, as in the rainforest. Computer programs, as in programs that can correct themselves. I don't know too much about that, but it exists. In our immune system, in our nervous system, any system in our body, or any ecosystem, any system in which dynamic change is involved, resilience is a quality to be cultivated. Whether in people or people using that quality to complete projects or goals in the outside. Now, one definition, a psychological definition, the process of adapting well and bouncing back from adversity. Okay, that's that would be a common definition. And Braden isn't saying that those are not definitions, meanings of resilience. He's just adding to it, and making it broader and more grander and sweeping. Okay, because it is, again, a way of living and being that gives us the flexibility to change and adapt to new conditions. And it's the key to transformation in our time of extremes. The word transformation, to me, makes it a very spiritual process. Transformation is one of our core values. We have, in this church, we decided a few years back, everyone who came to a certain series of meetings decided that we would have certain core values, and there was much discussion, and even voting, I believe. And those core values were beautifully written in calligraphy on the wall downstairs by Alan Aya, our official calligrapher. And those values, the first one is transformation. You know, we don't come here because we want to stay exactly the same. Most of us don't, anyway. We want to grow and develop in ways that heal us, that make our light shine brighter, that help us to help others. That's transformation, spiritual transformation. And the some of the other values that go along with this, you can't have transformation in a spiritual way without them. Love, joy. We're singing about these qualities today, love and joy. And authenticity and being spirit guided. Now, I've always liked the authenticity one myself because that means I can excuse myself by saying, that's just the way I am. But that can be a cop-out because I am becoming something else, okay? So I don't really need to use that as an excuse. I am becoming more. I'm becoming more aware of myself as a spiritual being. I am becoming aware that there is a connection between my head and my heart, and that my heart actually gives instructions to my head. The more I become spiritually mature, the more I will realize and live that way, that my heart actually gives instructions to my head. I don't have to be just totally logical. I can rely on love as well. Again, that power of discernment. To create joy, to create greater authenticity by being spirit guided and experiencing transformation. Now, I just happened to think that these core values fit in with my talk today, but I will also say that Reverends Edna and David are going to be doing a series of talks based on our core values beginning next week, I believe. A week after next. Okay. So that is also. It's something that we need to look at as a community and individually. And I believe that these core values are all involved in spiritual resilience. Okay. As far as community, relationships and community, and this church as a community, I have been thinking, and you know how where that gets you, that we have often used a model of family for church, but for some of us, not everybody, but for some of us, the model of family that we know is dysfunctional family. Some of us, all right? So I know there are exceptions, but still, some of us. Therefore, if we're looking at church as family and what we really have ingrained from our childhood as dysfunctional family, is it helpful to us as a community? Or do we have to fight with our siblings, rebel against mom and dad, go to the corner and sulk and not come to church anymore? I don't know, because these things happen. So we could look at trying to create another model of community that could serve us better. We could begin to look at this church community as a resilient, open, flexible community of individuals who are in relationship, this is kind of wordy, I wrote it, with the common purpose of creating a resilient, open, flexible community. Let me start again. Okay. Begin to look at church as resilient, open, flexible individuals in relationship. Okay. With the common purpose of creating a resilient, open, flexible community. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah? Okay, good. Oh, and I was going to set my timer so I only spoke for 20 minutes, and I forgot because It has been noted that I have been windy before. I mean, have spoken a long time before. So someone at 20 minutes, you know. And I'll gracefully exit the platform. Okay. So part of spiritual flexibility is being in relationships that are becoming increasingly healthy. Not necessarily like the family relationships some of us had. But our family relationships now can become increasingly healthy as well. Even if the family's passed on, we can create that. We can create a healthier relationship within, with the people in our lives and the spirits of those who have left by our own attitudes. Okay. So we need to feel that we contribute to something bigger. We need to feel that our existence makes sense. And Eleanor Roosevelt gave us a healthy way to think about life on a daily basis. She said, the purpose of life, after all, is to live it, to taste, experience to the utmost. To reach out and eagerly and without fear for newer and richer experiences. All right. It's good, right? Taste, experience to the utmost. Reach out eagerly and without fear for newer and richer experiences. And I think that's how she lived. And she did a lot of things and exhibited resilience, definitely. That is also about being in the now. If you're tasting experience, then you're not somewhere else. You're here having that experience. I am here if I am tasting experience. And I'm not afraid of change if I'm reaching out for newer and richer experiences. I'm not blocked in myself, trying to stay the same while something around me is saying change. Now, science has traditionally told us that our central organ in our body is the brain. But the new thinking is the brain does not act alone. And ancient wisdom traditions of the past taught us this too. The brain receives instructions from our real key organ, the heart. Heart-centered. And the book that I believe is still being used in metaphysics classes at Unity Institute by Reverend Paul Hasselbeck, who has been here before, is called Heart-Centered Metaphysics, because that is unity. We had our two founders. It's said that Charles was the brain and Myrtle was the heart. Well, they, in alignment, created a movement of heart-centered metaphysics. And I could teach that book here someday, if it were by popular demand. It's a big book, though. Okay. So, there is an ongoing, silent, mostly unconscious conversation of emotion-based signals from the heart to the brain. It's going on right now. Maybe we can't hear it, but it's going on, okay? And the quality of the emotional signals the heart sends to the brain determine which chemicals are released in our bodies. The stress from fear-based emotions increases the level of cortisol and adrenaline. We know this. We've been told this many times in our bloodstreams. And that's the source of our ancient fight-or-flight response. And that served our ancestors well. You know, bears coming. Fight or flight. Decide, quick. But it was designed, according to Braden, and seems reasonable, to be a temporary thing. The bear's coming. Fight or flight. Then go back to whatever your normal state is. We weren't really designed to be living in it all the time. Oh, my God, I have so many things to do. I have so many lists. I got to make a list of all my lists. You know? I'm overwhelmed. And that's how many people live lives. And sometimes, well, it's a normal human condition, too, to feel overwhelmed. But it means that we're in stress, that we've got these unhelpful hormones just floating all around and sometimes landing in weird places, I am told. I am told that belly fat is from that. I bless my belly fat. And I release it for the highest good of all. But we don't want to live in a constant release of stress hormones. You know, it's not a happy place to be. So, studies documented by the Heart Institute, the Institute of Heart Math, which I've talked about before, and I think Reverend David has talked about, a lot of people have shown that we can learn to shift our emotions from those that increase our adrenaline and cortisol, consciously shift them through practice, spiritual practice, okay, doing meditative exercises using our breath and our awareness of the heart. And through doing that, we can create coherence between the signals of the heart to the brain. And we can learn to shift parameters in our body to create higher levels of coherence. And more coherence between the heart and the brain leads to greater resilience. Resilience, heart-centered, flexible strength. More coherence between the heart and the brain leads to greater resilience. So, as we work on ourselves and as we value the power of community, we can share the benefits of recognizing spiritual truth, inner power, and insight with one another. And that is a reason that many of us actually come here, to share. Okay, spiritual truth, inner power, and insight. And especially in this time of rapid changes and extremes on our planet, it's through spiritually developing as individuals who are part of a spiritually developing resilient community, such as we are becoming, that we learn to create a way of life that reflects the core values that our calligrapher painted in the basement. And you will notice them as you go downstairs after the service. This leads us to transformation, which is what we are all about. We want to be butterflies. We are butterflies. We want to be the oak tree. We might look like an acorn, but we want to be the oak tree. And we are. We are. With each person, this is Eckhart Tolle, with each person who awakens, the momentum in the collective consciousness grows and it becomes easier for others. So let's continue awakening to our own spiritual resilience, and in so doing, we make it easier for others. Thank